like it would take forever. But one of the great things about VIP, or just WordPress in general, is the caching aspect of it. So VIP, I do believe, uses Memcached for their caching. Has anybody had experience with that? There you go, Jake back there. He knows what it is. Does anybody even know what Memcached is? Okay. So back in 2.5, I think, they removed, the object cache? Do you know about this? Yeah, so they used to have an object cache in WordPress. And basically, you could make, like a list of something, and then store it as an object, and would write it to the file system, and then you could pull it back in, so you're not constantly in the database. But around 2.5, they removed that because I guess it was causing performance issues. And so, if you can put it back in and hook it up to Memcached, which really helps out a lot with your performance, because anytime you make a list or something like this, you're not always rebuilding it. So that's one of the we really take advantage of WordPress caching to make sure that these pages render quickly. I don't know if you can see it here. I really like to look at page source a lot, so please forgive me. But let's see if we can find some numbers. Usually they'll tell you how long things take, but maybe not. On my own server that I do development for this site on, one of the bad things about VIP is it's very hard to recreate the environment that they use because you can't just develop on their box. So you have to kind of make something on your own. So in the development environment that I make, the first time I render a page before anything is cached, it takes about 30 seconds to get everything. And then, pretty much on VIP, it's instantaneous. I think if we had any sort of load issues, our traffic wouldn't be nearly as high as it is.
Let's talk about VIP a little bit because it's...
Like what it is.
Yeah, because you just brought it up like people knew what it was. It's apparently the host, right?
VIP is the service that Automattic offers as a part of WordPress.com for, I guess, high-end customers or high-traffic customers. So if you have a site that gets a lot of traffic that you want to have your own design on, your own theme, your own plugins, but you also need the support of an organization like WordPress, then you go with VIP. And I do believe it's $500 a month per blog. So maybe $250. I'm not exactly sure of these numbers. I don't make these decisions. One of the reasons people go for VIP is, especially an example of an organization like Time Inc., that IT in certain organizations will not support certain platforms. So if you look at our organization, we have this history of supporting Vignette for 11 years. It needs big expensive hardware, a lot of IT people, and when you bring a new platform along, and you say, hey, we want to run PHP so we can do WordPress, none of those people have any of that experience. And, I don't want to bash IT people, but it's kind of their habit to not learn new things and protect their job, and it's like the little kingdom that they set up for themselves. And so the reason why we choose something like VIP is, well, that means we don't have to deal with IT. We don't have to have them approve everything and
but
say,
we still
hey,
love you.
What?
But we still love you.
Well, you're not my IT. You're your own IT. But,
WordPress and IT can work really well together because it is easy to integrate.
Oh, it definitely can.
I just don't want to give the impression that WordPress has to exist outside an IT structure.
No, because at Viacom, they had their own night setup for WordPress that was internal. They had staging servers, they had dev servers, production servers. They had that whole environment, but at Time Inc., they've got that whole environment, but it's only for Vignette, and that's what they support. And I guess financially it didn't make sense for them to say, hey, we're going to set up all this new stuff so we can do WordPress. they might not even be sure that that's where they want to go. And with our blogs at EW, we were originally on, I guess, what, TypePad, movable type. And then in the middle of last year, we made a migration from movable type to WordPress. And that was kind of an adventure because, you know, a lot of our content goes into the blogs, and so we have hundreds of thousands of comments, tens of thousands of posts. And one of the things that VIP was able to do for us is move all that over over a period of time. So that aspect of it was quite good. So as far as going back to making these requests, we grab this header. We grab the most talked about posts. Oh, no, this is internal. Latest headlines. This comes from something that one of the editors sets up inside Vignette. The featured video. This is, again, going to be a tout that comes from Vignette that somebody creates specifically. Today's most popular. This is basically looks at our traffic across the entire site and says these are the articles that people are reading. And if you will notice, each one of those is a blog. So our blogs do really well. I mean, the only other thing that you'll see up there every once in a while is either maybe a photo gallery, like after an award show or something like that. But usually it's our blog articles that stay up here. We have this pic. This thing is real crazy right here. It goes, we use this JavaScript that goes to Google Calendar and then gets information about what they want you to watch each day. And then we have one for, we have like five of these, you know, TV, movies, books. And then we have a partner bar. A lot of these big media sites, they have relationships with other media sites. And part of that is linking to each other's content. So we have to go out and get their RSS feeds and put those into our page. This guy right here, that's Bigo. That's like a text, like a Google ad that they paid a lot of money for. And then down the bottom here, we have another five partners, and then the footer. So we have to make a lot of requests. And the other thing that we have to do is publish a lot of information from here to Vignette in a way that's easy for them to get. So does anybody here do anything weird with pages on WordPress?
Like what's weird?
I mean, one of the things that I like to do is set up pages that, like, I like to set up a controller page where you can just send it, you know, a few things in the GET, and it'll maybe sit back some JSON or a small snippet of HTML or, like, handle an AJAX request. So it's using a page in a way that a page isn't normally used. You know, it's not really for public consumption, but just for handling requests.
Oh yeah, definitely. I do some live AJAX feeds from how our sales are doing at my office. and that's just for the manager's blog. He has a he's into the security community. We sell alarm systems, and in his own personal blog, we get numbers from our own software or you know enterprise RIAs. So I have to hack WordPress all the time.
And I mean, using the pages for that, I think is really neat. So do people here understand the concept of page templates?
Yeah.
Well, templates are really neat in the sense that they have access to the WordPress request, but you don't really have to pay attention to it. You can just do whatever you want. So it's like a quick and dirty way to you know, put information out there in a way that you like. And so for each blog, we have maybe five or six specific pages that just either make JSON. Does anybody here know what JSON is?
XML for JavaScript.
JSON, I'm not going to lie to y'all, is the best thing ever. Because JSON. What does it stand for? Like JavaScript, object notation, something like that? But basically, it is the most portable data source for the web. And then there's JSON brother, I guess, JSON P, which is just like JSON, except it has a wrapper. And it allows you to like move data back and forth or make requests to other web servers and then get it as JavaScript and pull it in real time. So if you don't know either of those technologies, they're not that complicated, but they are very, very useful. And we end up doing a lot with WordPress to like gather information, aggregate it, rank it, sort it, spit it back out, make a module that then goes elsewhere. So one example of that is we'll go to people.com. See, in our environment at work, vignette is not friendly towards like interactive or like content that gets updated on a regular basis. You know, it's an old school inflexible publishing system where you write an article, you push a button, it makes a static file, you know, and it just puts it out there, and then it can handle lots and lots of traffic, but it can't handle the interaction. Let's see what we got. This is people.com. They are the people that make people sit next to me. Recently called a tweet tracker or Twitter tracker because everybody loves Twitter these days and you know it's something that everybody's all excited about in inside these media companies is like, oh, you can see what the celebrities are doing and things like that. And so they have this let's just try this one real quick if we don't have it. Don't know what I'm gonna give to you or show to you, but basically, we set up this thing inside WordPress where you can link to your Twitter account or a Twitter list or some sort of Twitter feed, and then you give it a name, and then you can also follow advertisers. So, like, this is a big corporation that wants to promote a product. Like, we did it for Samsung. Then we also follow their Twitter feed, and then we kind of go out and get the celebrities, and then we get the sponsors, and we kind of put it in a block together. And we use WordPress to do all this because it would be absolutely impossible to do with vignette. And I wish I could show it to you because it's pretty neat, but maybe it is hiding because we do not have any. Oh, here it is right here. See this tweet ticker? So this is created by WordPress and published to vignette. And it follows, you know, they have a list of celebrities they follow, and it goes out and grabs them, and that if they have an advertiser, this part right here will expand at the bottom. So I want to show you now things that come from WordPress that end up in vignette and how we do that. This is one of the wonderful things about vignette. I don't know if you can look at the URL string up there, but you see the comments?
Yeah.
I mean, how often is that for a URL? Commas and numbers.
Doesn't seem often.
Well, I think about the SEO for that. You know, if somebody's searching for a phone number, and they find our post, that's huge. That's where the real money comes from. You know, there's going to be a lot of people talking about SEO, comments, numbers. That's all that really matters. But so this is an article that exists inside vignette that is a lot like what we would have inside WordPress, but slightly less flexible. So we have, you know, the images is only going to appear on the right there. You know, that's the specific error that you can have that. We have this all about thing, which then links to a, you know, kind of like a page that has a bunch of stuff about Grey's Anatomy. And, I mean, that's about it. You'll never see a video in here. You will never see some sort of little flash widget or anything like that. It's a very inflexible system because it was designed for the web 11 years ago. And so you can see that we have this, again, the same design. Between the blogs and vignettes, the design doesn't really change. We have the elements. But you can see this most talked about post. So this is one of those pages that grabs information, aggregates it, spits it out, creates a little block of HTML or a piece of JSON. And then vignette, we have this system that goes out and caches that, puts it on a local system, and then it turns it into a server, you know, just like a regular input. So,
question, you have WordPress that looks like the vignette page. Hi, this is my question is, you have WordPress pages that look like vignette pages and has the same data in it, pretty much, and you have vice versa. Where is the evolution towards WordPress? Is WordPress a widget add-on to vignette? It seems like, other than inertia, I'm not seeing a lot that WordPress can't do on its own.
I mean, that's kind of the direction that we are heading in. The reality is, a system like vignette costs a ridiculous amount of money to manage. For a site like EW, we have 9 different servers. Just for 9 different environments, just for being able to do testing, development, QA with information from the live site. So 9 different servers just for that. And these servers aren't cheap, you know, because each of them is going to require their own license. Since the company doesn't really support, what I said, you can't just go to Vignette and say, hey, we want pay for service. You know, you have to have it on your own machine. So it's very expensive. It's definitely, you know, something that costs the company a lot of money. Whereas with WordPress, it's a flat fee each month. You don't need to pay a person other than me to do anything. You know, you don't have to have some guy whose job is to watch the box and make sure it can go down. To me, it's a no-brainer. But the big question is, how do you take this stuff from this old system and then move it into Vignette?
Yeah,
that's kind of big.
Yeah, answer the question.
Well, that's the hard part because WordPress, they have their format that you can output in like an XML format and then it'll read all that and pull it in. Jake, you know they have that? Like the WordPress?
There's a few different formats that can read. I'm not sure what you're getting at.
Oh, she was saying, like, what's the appropriate way to pull out all this information and pull it into WordPress? I would say you make a big old XML file.
Yeah, typically, you know, the way WordPress and outside, especially when you're tying in with other, you know, big media systems, RSS, really simple syndication, which is an XML based technology that sort of is a standard for grouping this information and passing it between systems, is really the way to go.
Yeah. And there's like a WP, there's some specific, it's not important, but if you use the XML-based format, then usually it's pretty easy to move data back and forth. And so what we're going to try and do from here is start seeing, well, hey, can we do certain things that we're used to doing in Vignette inside WordPress? An example of that would be, see at the top this special coverage, these are what they call roundup pages. So we have, you know, a big image at the top with articles on the left, and then all these here are photo galleries. And so these are the, you know, things like photo galleries are stuff that websites have traditionally provided that WordPress is a little bit lacking in up until recently. I mean, from the new image stuff in 2.9, which I think is absolutely amazing, that I think is the one feature that will really get these big media companies to say, hey, we can do everything inside WordPress, because the traditional process for managing images is really nasty. You know, at time we have specific image servers and we have specific people whose job is just to take photos that we would use in magazines and then cut them to a different size, you know, specific size, and then make your 175 by 175 and then another 75 by 75. So we have this existing process which is really painful, but the new WordPress 2.9, you know, post thumbnail thing makes it absolutely beautiful. Has anybody played around with that? Got a lot of fans? I mean, I really love it. And so these are the types of things that they want to be able to make with WordPress in order to say, hey, we not need to spend money on it anymore. But really, these are more, you look at something like this, and it's not a blog post. It's more like a destination. And one of the things that we haven't done is started, you know, take advantage of the actual page setup inside WordPress. And you know, I really love the way that pages work. I love the hierarchical organization of them. You know, I think that pages are actually good for long-term SEO. And so, you know, one of our projects from now is going to be setting up these types of things inside WordPress. And I want to go into show you some of the things we do in the back end of WordPress to give you an idea of what it takes, kind of like from the editor's perspective, to pull information from the vignette into a post, or dealing with some of the issues that come up with using WordPress VIP. So I came to a blog called Shelf Life. Please ignore these numbers, but just to show you how we are. See how it says Top WordPress blog today, Top Watch. That's the one we were looking at. And then CNN, that's also kind of part of the Timing family, but they're their own thing. And then we have 5 of the top 10 posts. So on a regular basis, if you look here, we usually have 4 or 5. So I think we're doing a pretty good job in that sense. This one is us. If it doesn't have an icon, it's usually us. And we should probably make everybody use a little EW logo. But, you know, we don't ever show the Gravatar anywhere on the site. So that's kind of a shame. But this one. Oh, we lost the number 10 spot. And then there's people there as well. And people have started to do quite a bit more with WordPress.
How do you know they're yours? Just by the title? Just because you know that title is yours, or by the
if you look at the... If you look at the link at the bottom, topwatch.ew.com, I mean, I can look at the title and be like, yeah, that's us. I mean, this is Odd Yellow Files. Odd Yellow Files is actually, we got this guy from TV Guy, and he has over 1 million followers on Twitter, and if he posts about one of his articles, like, he has one of the best responses I've ever seen out of anybody on Twitter. Like, does anybody here ever look at stats for Bitly or understand what that is? Bitly is really great.
You can
look at anybody out there who uses it, take their URL, put a plus behind it, and see how much ability they have to push traffic around. And so you can take somebody really famous like Ashton Kutcher and see, well, how much do people actually listen to him? And you know, he has like 4 million followers, and if he can't send more than 5,000 people to a link, then what does that all mean? But, Michael Abdiello with 1 million followers, he's getting up to about 10,000 people will come to a post if he talks about it, which is a lot better than our regular EW account. We have other accounts, just EW, and if we post a link on there, then, you know, depending on what it is, you can get anywhere from like 500 to 5,000, but he is consistently very good at that. So let's go to the editor here. One of the things you cannot do with WordPress.com and VIP is easily embed videos the traditional way. So let's say you go to a site and it has, you know, a little flash video in there with an embed link, you know, and usually you cut and paste some code and you put it in here. They're going to strip all that out. They just don't want you putting in flash that they don't know of or things like that. And so that causes a lot of problems for, you know, a very media-heavy site where you want to be pulling clips from all over the place. Now, I don't know if you noticed when we were looking at the content before, but there were a decent amount of videos in there that looked like they came from different sites. And so one of the things we use for that is a site called ModPod. Has anybody heard of that? ModPod is a video aggregation site. The way it usually works is you go there, you sign up for an account, and then you create a bookmark list. And then any site that you go to that has a video on it, you push that bookmark list and says add to ModPod, and then you essentially have a collection of references to videos. And what I did was I created a plugin for WordPress where it will access the ModPod API. And so you can type in your account name and it will bring up all the videos that you have, I guess, added to your collection. And you can just push it and say, hey, put this into WordPress with a short code. Everybody know what short codes are?
Hey, that's pretty good.
Well, the thing about VIP compared to regular WordPress is it's very hard to get your plugins in there.
But you were able to create a plugin for WordPress VIP. I didn't know you were able to create your own plugin for WordPress VIP.
Technically, you can.
Okay.
There is no plug directory. We've got a question over here. So. Oh, yeah. No, I released it to the regular WordPress plugin library because, I mean, we don't actually use it, to be honest. I set it up, but you know, the current process that they have for adding in videos is fine for them, and so I just kind of made it as a proof of concept and maybe we'll add it in. But the regular plugin structure doesn't really exist. There are these plugins that they have approved and have in a plugin directory, but you can't, you know, if you look on the left here, there is no plugins menu, right? So plugins just don't exist. In order to get those types of plugins into your theme, you have to make them an actual part of the theme. And so you have to do a little bit of modification. So one of the things that we did was we have extended TinyMCE, which is your editor here. See how it says insert image from content tool? So this guy right here, it pops up a little thing, and now it is making an iframe, which here's. All right, so here we go. And it's the most boring, stupid thing if you think about it, because WordPress has this wonderful way of dealing with images that you can attach into posts and things like that. But since we have an existing system that has all of our images in, that has them cropped and things like that, we have to be able to tell WordPress, hey, go use this image. So, let's see. Go to an actual vignette page because they don't use this properly. So let's see. We'll go to this recap. This one is an actual proper image. We've been here before. So we'll copy the image URL. Let me put that in here. Usually images were taken by a professional photographer or something like that, so we have to give it a credit. Awesome. And we do insert. And then it puts it in as a short code. And so you don't actually see the image in there, but when the page renders, it goes through and replaces a short code with an image. And then when we have to do a mobile version of this or an iPhone version of this, because we syndicate our content in many different ways, we can say, yank the image out because we don't need it as a part of the content, or take the image and get the thumbnail for it and put it in a special place so that it can be seen easily in an iPhone application. So systematically, we have to do some things differently in order to publish to the different formats. And then I'll show you the font real quick. I'm going to show you my Deb and Marvin. But I basically did whatever I could to recreate the WordPress.com environment on my server here. Here, how we can have plugins. You know, that's one of the things we don't have on the home. Does anybody want to actually see the mod pod thing real quick? Is that interesting? Okay.
Yeah.
I have it on my main site. When I develop, I like to use subdomains for everything. I think it's really good to develop on a server so that way other people can see things and it's very close to the actual environment. Lots of people like to develop on like a dev server or on their local machine. But I think that's kind of a trap because you make something and you run into issues and you say, hey, I need help with this. And you can't get anybody to help you because they can't see it. All right, so admin. So this right here, the mod pod plugin extends the add media functionality. And doing, like, extending this is actually a lot easier than extending TinyMCE. I'll put that out there because this one just uses iframes, doesn't have to be anything too crazy. Pod, there we go. So, I use dmed. So here you can see pictures of all the images, or images of all the videos. And I can pick this, right? Push play, check it out. Want to make a collection of car videos for yourself. So you go to all your car video sites and you push your button on each of the videos that you like. Then Botlet goes out and finds that embed code and they make this, you see this group video number here? They give each one of those an ID and then they make a 301 redirect to that video file. So it's really useful. And then, you know, if you want to preview it,
No,
iPod is its own service. I just made a plugin for it because I thought it was really useful because otherwise there's a way to get all these different video sites in there for each, like for an NBC. NBC has their own way of doing embeds, and usually they want you to do it either as an iframe or an embed code, and since we can't use either of those, if we wanted to make a video, show a video from NBC, then we'd have to make a short code for pretty much every media site out there. So that makes it complicated. There we go, there's a video. And then, you wanna, let's try to find another one real quick.
Hi, I have a general question.
Okay, go for it.
What What are some of the main objectives? What are some of the main objectives you have for their blog? And do you see these companies moving towards a paid subscription service, like the one recently announced by the New York Times?
No, I don't think they have the ability to charge customers for this type of content. When it comes down to it, we're writing out things we watch on TV. And how valuable is that? Would you pay money to read somebody's opinion about a TV show that you just watched? So I don't think there's a subscription model for our specific content. Maybe for something where it's more journalistic, and you know, I feel really bad for saying this about the company that I work for, but it's just the value's not there. So most of it's going to be advertiser supported. That's about it. But I do see these media companies really embracing this platform. I mean, WordPress has a lot of momentum going for it. Over the last couple of years, it's essentially exploded. I think from 2.5 is really when people started taking it seriously. And I mean, once you get momentum in an open source project like this, it's hard to take the genie and stuff it back in the bottle. This is not going to happen. You've got more and more people developing for it, more and more people releasing plugins for it, and with a commercial, commercial competitor, like there's just no way for them to keep up with that. They either have to charge more money or get more customers, and then pay all these people to develop for it. I mean, it's not going to work out for them. And so, once you get on a platform like this, or once you have the ability to move to a platform like this, then really you are developing an asset for your own organization. One of the things about Vignette is look at all the money that has been spent on it up until now. Ridiculous amounts of money. But what do we actually own related to that? Nothing. If somebody wants to buy Time Inc. tomorrow and they look at our balance sheet, they said these websites, are they an asset or are they a liability? Well, parts of them are definitely a big liability because you got to keep on paying for that. And if you don't, you lose it. Whereas the WordPress aspect of it, you have to pay a monthly fee, but that's about it. And so that aspect of it works out real good. Any more questions? Anybody want to say anything about stuff they've done? Big media people, small media people. I'll show you a couple more little things that we do.
You just have 3 minutes.
Okay. I just want to show you the page.
Ned, I don't know if you care, but can you wrap up by talking about who sort of beyond EW, some of your role models for good big media sites and bad big media sites?
Oh yeah, actually I looked at a bunch of the Boston sites. I totally forgot that I had done this. But Boston.com, like a lot of them actually do have good blogs. I can send out a list of that. But who do I like? Actually there's the Boston.com Big Picture. Has anybody seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great site. Unfortunately it's not WordPress. But they do a really good job of having nice pictures in there. New York Times, they do good stuff with WordPress. I'm not too thrilled with what CNN does, to be honest. On their homepage, they link directly to their political tracker, but they don't link directly to articles that they mention. So they'll tell you that something is going to be there, and then you click on it, and then you have to find it. So that's not even good. MTV really disappointed me with their blog. One of the things that they did was, these social networking sites like Ning and Flux. Flux, I don't know, but they invest a lot of money in a social networking site, and then they moved all their comments away from WordPress into their online communities, and it just killed the number of comments. So MTV used to have a site called Multiplayer, where they write about video games, and their articles would get a good amount of comments, and now nobody comments on them at all because they've kind of created this wall that says you have to be a part of our community to comment here, and it's all JavaScript-based, so you don't get any SEO involved with comments, and so they just kind of really messed it up.
On Flux?
With Flux. they spend a lot of money on that too. So one of the things I recommend is don't change the way the comments work. Unless you really want something like intense debate and you have like a very established community. But if you just write about things and you want to get people's input, don't mess with the comments. So I'm gonna sort of wrap things up, but take another question or anything like that.
Two, hey.